So in the training of the mind, we talk about formal and informal practices. Formal practice includes sitting meditation, walking meditation. Why we call it formal practice is that we create a specific supportive environment for the training of the mind. So a specific supportive environment is one in which we minimize as far as possible the obstructions, external obstructions, in particular to the practice of meditation. So we choose a place which is preferably not too hot or too cold, free of mosquitoes and biting insects of various kinds, free of loud, disturbing noises. And we sit in a particular way, in a particular posture. So the cross-legged posture has always been the preferred posture for meditation because it gives the body a stable triangular base. And it allows us to sit with a straight back. So really, sitting cross-legged or kneeling or whatever is not really crucial, not vital to the meditation practice. But what is important is to keep a straight back. And keeping a straight back is not to be achieved by forcing yourself into a rigid kind of straightness, because that's not sustainable and it'll bring various tensions to the body which will undermine the meditation. So you want to sit in such a way that you can keep your back straight in a natural way. That's why it's often just good to just have something just to prop up underneath your bottom, just to help you to maintain that straightness. You can also imagine as if there's a string or something pulling the top of your head up towards the ceiling. So you have that feeling of pushing downwards through the coccyx, down into the earth on one end of the spine, and then the head pushing up to the ceiling. So opening up, allowing the body to breathe in and breathe out in a very natural, unforced way. Now the practices of meditation are extremely varied. We could compare meditation perhaps to sport, and there's so many different sports and there are so many different kinds of meditation. But Buddhist meditation, stuff we want with the effort to create and sustain mindfulness. And mindfulness is accompanied by another mental state called clear comprehension. So these two go together. So mindfulness means being able to apply yourself to a task without forgetting what you're doing. It's non-forgetting. It's remembering. It's bearing in mind. Clear comprehension means that you're aware of the quality of your effort. It's the wisdom faculty in its first embryonic appearance in meditation. So to develop mindfulness, we need an object of mindfulness. And the object of mindfulness, which has always been the most common, popular throughout history of Buddhism, has been the breath. Because the breath is always available as long as we're alive. It is something that we can put our attention on very easily. But the breath is also a very interesting phenomena in that it is a physical process which is very closely related to the mind. It's affected by mental states and it affects mental states. It's to say, when you're in there's a very coarse emotion in the mind, the breath will be very coarse. If there's a very subtle or refined emotion in the mind, the breath will be very subtle and refined. So the breath changes according to the attention, according to the mental state of the human being who owns that breath or is breathing. So putting the attention on the breath gives us an opportunity both to develop calmness, stability of mind, and inner joy, but also enables us to investigate the nature of the mind and body. To begin with, it is useful to simply be aware of the whole body breathing. Be aware of this body breathing. We can see immediately that there is no owner of the breath. There is not somebody breathing. The body breathes. So be aware of the body sitting on the floor, the cross-legged posture, breathing. Be aware of the breath, the sensation of the breath in the head, in the neck, in the shoulders, the arms, the hands, the fingers. Be aware of the sensation of the breath in the chest, in the belly, in the back, the whole of the torso. Be Be aware of the breath in the hips, in the bottom, the legs, the knees, the shins, the calves, the ankles, the feet, the toes. Be aware of this body, breathing in, breathing out. Whether you pay attention to it, you don't pay attention to it, this is what the body does. Breathes in, it breathes out. So the purpose of this exercise is to develop the ability to observe. To observe the body and observe the mind. And observing it without reacting to it. This is the fundamental virtue, fundamental quality of mind that we are seeking to develop in meditation. The ability to be present to experience without reacting to experience. To be clear-minded, aware, awake to the present reality, not living in a world of dreams, desires, imagination, memories, but living in the real world, the world that can be experienced here and now. So you can feel the body, the whole body, from the head to the feet, expanding and contracting with the breath. There's nothing to do, nowhere to go, nothing you need to think about. Develop this ability to live in the real world of experience, present experience. Breathing in, breathing out. When you breathe in, you know you're breathing in. When you breathe out, you know you're breathing out. So this is not a complex, intellectually challenging project. When we're putting down all our thoughts and ideas and views, opinions, coming back to basics. It's feeling this body like an oxygen balloon, expanding and contracting with the breath. So this is a training in patience, it's a training in perseverance. Learning how to renounce thinking, renounce memories for a certain period of time, for a specific purpose. Learning how to create a sustained period of clarity, awareness, stability, deep inner well-being through the training of the mind, beginning with the mindfulness of the breath, breathing in, knowing that we're breathing in, breathing out, knowing that you're breathing out. We all have this capacity, this potential for awareness. But it has to be trained systematically, trained with patience, perseverance.